So I guess this is going to be some type of origin story, if you want to put it like that. Hello, welcome to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I am your host, Aylin, and welcome back. I took a month break, and I was watching like Degrassi on YouTube and a whole bunch of other old shows, and I was like, girl, you have content that you wrote down and you need to get your butt up and go put it out there. These shows are not going anywhere. But shoot, they don't put the full episodes on YouTube, so I don't have to go bouncing around and kind of guess what happened the previous episodes. Like, the full episodes are on there from season one all the way to season 500. You know, well, you know how long they be doing those TV shows. But then also, my daughter is finally done with school. Like, school, I want to say school ended, but all the work that they gave us is done. So I'm so happy about that, because that shit is stressful. Like, I'm not a teacher. And then also, like, my child is like, we're at home. So, you know, it's hard for kids to separate school and then home and stuff. You know, it's just all confusing overall. And then also, my six-year-old won't let me live. Like, she won't let me live. Like, she won't at all. Like, she runs me, I guess. I guess that's how you could put it. Like, you know how everybody be making jokes about Blue Ivy being Beyonce's manager? Guess what? Kids around her age, they do that. They're like, like, you're mommy, but you do as I tell you first. So yeah, my six-year-old won't let me live. Can I live? Can I live? So I literally have to wait. And usually people say this, like, when you have a newborn or whatnot. Like, oh, wait till the baby sleep. Then you can do whatever you got to do. Or, you know, when the baby sleeps, you sleep. Man, please. Like, once dealing with my child all day, it's like, and when she goes to sleep, because she goes to sleep late. Like, I'm like, come on now, go to bed. Spend 2 hours trying to put her to bed. Once she goes to bed, I'm ready to go to bed as well. I can't do nothing. I can't be productive how I want to, because she has to go to bed as well. So it's wild. And people think because, like, you want a break from your child that you dislike your child. And it's like, no, I love my child. I actually want more of them niggas. Not to call my kid that, but I actually want more kids. But you need a break. Like, one time, like, I knew I needed a break when I was calling my baby daddy crying, like, yo, you can come get her. Whew, I'm about to lose it. And usually I don't talk to him, like, on that type of level. Like, everything is surface. Like, oh, she's doing good. Or you coming to get her? All right. Or you want to talk to her? Here's the phone. I don't go deep into conversation with my baby daddy. So for me to get deep with my baby daddy and talk about my feelings, you know that it's a lot. Kids are a full-time job. Like, you can love your kid from the moon and back, but sometimes you just need that break. You just need that alone time. Sometimes I just need a day to really sit up here and just breathe and sleep without my sleep getting broken, getting up and exercising, actually having my, like, doing stuff with my day. So sometimes I just need that break. It's okay to have a break to recharge, refuel. It's the alone time. Like, can I get some alone time and stuff? That's why dudes be like, oh, when you get with a single mom, you know, she's doing everything she can in the time that y'all together, because she's always with them babies. But I did take a month break to figure out my life and what did I want to do with myself. And then in that month, and it was so crazy, it felt like it's been longer than a month, but in that month, whew, a lot of stuff has went down. So I've done, created some stuff off of what I've seen, and yeah, the Savage song has been stuck in my head, and now I don't want to listen to it no more, you know, which is fine. Now I'm listening to the Savage remix, which is the same song, but until that's not getting played hard, like, Savage was being played hard. But you know, when stuff goes viral, it happens. So in this episode, I'm going to actually break down what is a Country Caribbean. I have been doing the podcast for a year, yay, and doing the podcast for a year I'm like shocked that it's been a year. Even though I be taking the breaks that I take, it's been a year. Now, when I started it, I didn't know what the heck I wanted to do with this thing at all. Like, I was like, foreign. But I didn't know what I wanted to do as well. I knew I wanted to, like, change the narrative and basically talk about certain things that I really don't see people having that much conversation about. Even though imposter syndrome, I felt like I was just, like, playing around. I wasn't serious about it or whatnot. But when I started a podcast, the reason I started a podcast was, like I said, to have conversation, but also change the narrative about millennials, change the narrative about young single moms, black single moms, is that, you know, change the narrative about Caribbean Americans. Actually have, I wouldn't say have, but actually tell the story of what it's like to be Caribbean American, what it's like growing up in the South, what it's like moving through adulthood with everything changing so much and dealing with people changing and mental health and balancing everything and trying to figure out what you want to do with your life and constantly having people on your back about your life in general as well. So once I figured that out, I was able to really do the episodes I wanted to do. Even though I have a lot of episodes that I do want to put out, but I feel as though, like, I need more into it. I'm a perfectionist. So it's like, I was like, upgrade my mic. I want to say upgrade my computer, because I got to figure out, you know, you got to get rid of something before you bring something in. I'm just that type of person. But, you know, just upgrade certain stuff. It's like, one of my friends told me, was like, you know, if you're going to be serious about it, be serious. If you're not, like, you know. So I'm like, dang, you want to be serious? It's just all about the taking risk. So, because lately everybody's been starting their business, doing their business stuff. And I will be talking about that in a future episode. But, you know, everybody's been starting their businesses, taking risks, been arguing. Because you know what happens. Been arguing about how a small business is supposed to go, how you want to go. I'm going to get further into that in my next episode, like, for real. Like, I got to put that out. I've been wanting to do that episode about people and their business. Even though I talk every here and there, but I've been wanting to do an episode related to black businesses. I'm, like, further deep into it and having other people's perspectives, as in other businesses. So, I'm going to be talking about what is a country Caribbean. As I told you, I've been doing this for a year now. At the time, before I started a podcast, the only podcast I was listening to was The Read and The Bodega Boys. And then, like, a couple months later, I came across Therapy for Black Girls. And then, since starting my podcast, I have came across so many podcasts. I have so many to download. Listen, usually I go exercising. Usually when I'm exercising, that's when I listen to podcasts. Or, like, when I was working, I used to work overnight. And, you know, everybody be doing their own thing. So, finding out about more podcasts and listening to them, it kept me entertained. And it did give me ideas. And it did, like, you know, to see people have, like, the same views or different views as you. And it was a lot of interesting conversations. But I discovered more podcasts. And I actually got an idea of what the hell a podcast was. It was so crazy. I did not know I was listening to a podcast until I started my podcast. Like, I just thought, like, it was just people talking, just to talk. But then I realized that some of my favorite content creators had their own podcast. And I really, really enjoy them. So, what is a country Caribbean, you ask? Well, a country Caribbean is me. A country Caribbean is my daughter. Now, when I say country Caribbean, you know, people, they like to talk about the South. And then when I tell people where I'm from, they're like, oh, you're country. And then Caribbean, that explains itself. Like, I'm of Caribbean background. And I grew up in a country. I grew up in a small town. I rode a horse once. And, you know, a lot of people like to be like, oh, people wear a cowboy hat and call themselves country. No, I am country. Like, it would be a whole story time about my whole city. Like, that'll probably be a future episode as well. But So just country, you know, one horse town. I grew up in a small town. It was a lot of black people. You know, most people talk about how they grew up in predominantly white areas or whatnot. But I grew up in a small town. I grew up in the South. You know, when I tell people, like, oh, I grew up in Georgia, the first thing they assume is Atlanta. No. No, sir. Atlanta is so different from the other. Atlanta is city. I'm from country, like, small town. Everybody named Mama know each other. Cookouts, fish fries all the damn time. You know, we only got one Burger King. We got one of everything. We got one mall that everybody goes to. And I've been to some even countryer areas in that small town, surrounding counties and whatnot. You know, trailers. I mean, people did have horses and stuff. But, you know, dirt bikes, playing in mud. Like, we did all that shit. But when it comes to Georgia, Georgia is just one big old circle. Once I started driving, I realized that if I just keep driving long enough, I will end up back in my city. I will end up back in this area. I know about a million back roads from my city to Atlanta, from Atlanta to my city, and from Macon to this city, from Macon to that city, from freaking Stone Mountain back to where I currently live right now in Atlanta. So I know so many back roads. Like I said, just one big circle. But I just love the aesthetic of Georgia and whatnot. I know a lot of people in Georgia, they don't know if they're going to settle down in Georgia or whatnot. Shoot, I don't even know if I'm going to settle down in Georgia, because this is basically all I know my whole life. I grew up in Georgia my whole life. This is all I know. I was born in Alabama. When I tell people I'm born in Alabama, they just be like, oh my God, you're so country. Or start asking me stuff about Alabama. And it's like, I was born there. I wasn't raised there. I was just born there. That's it. So I'm a Southern girl. I'm a Southern belle. But I don't know. I might reside in Georgia and just live out my country ass life. There's a whole bunch of land. That's one thing everybody, that's one thing people get excited about. They'll get excited about buying land. They'll get excited about buying a house. They get excited about buying land. And I don't blame them. Like, listen, you just gotta be in the area just to know, having your own land and just rolling around in the damn grass. You know, just playing outside. That's all we did, was play outside. But of course, the South has its downsides, you know, racism and white people and just ignorance. The South, the myth about the South being ignorant, I'm talking about the country, right? The country part of the country, Kirby. So, the country. So, the South being ignorant, it is somewhat true. And I mean, but this could be true for so many areas, like Oklahoma, Tennessee, no, the Midwest, the other parts of the South, shit, even in the North. But, you know, just about the whole South being ignorant and whatnot. I mean, y'all seen how Alabama was up there throwing a fit about abortions and stuff? So, yeah. But back to me. I don't like peaches. Growing up, I loved them. I used to eat peaches and cherries a lot. But now that I'm an adult, I don't really care for them. I'm more of a pineapple mango type of girl, you know. Hey. Like I said, I rode a horse once. I constantly see, when I do drive on the back roads, I do constantly see people like riding horses and stuff. I know there's a lot of farms. I love freaking farms. Like, you could drive anywhere for a good minute and you'll see like a farm. But I do kind of get homesick sometimes. Like, just, I think about the good times I had where I used to live at, this small town. I think about the fun times I had. But I remember, like, girl, it's a reason why you left. Now, if things were different, I'd probably still be in that town and then, you know, go visit here and there, blah, blah, blah. But I do kind of miss it because, like, it was just so what do you call it? It wasn't like it was very slow. Like it was very slow paced. Now, when I moved to Atlanta, it was like I've only been in Atlanta for a little over 4 years. Yeah, I'll make sure I'm saying that correctly. Yeah, I've been over here for a little bit over 4 years, and it feels like I've been here for freaking 10 years and stuff. So versus my city, like everything was just very slow paced, and just I didn't really stress that much because stuff is cheaper. Stuff is cheaper. Like you could get you a crib for like $300 something, less than $600. But one of the cribs I was in, it was like $300 a month. And then if I were to go back, I know my mom owns her house, so if I were to go back, I probably have to pay like less than $200, and that's just, I think, taxes. If I decide to choose to live there, I'll just have to pay the taxes, which is less than $200. So, you know, you can see why some people don't leave the country, because it's a little bit cheaper. But overall, how would I put this? Like I said, if I did have to go back, sure, I just need to get a car. But I do like Atlanta. I really do. You know, it's like, it's country, but then it's like city country. So it's a blend. Like the people up here, they're very prissy. I wouldn't say prissy, but you know, a lot of people are bougie, you know, people don't really play outside in the dirt. You know, it's a lot. You do come across people, but I'm just saying, like, overall, it's, of course, it's a whole 360 from what I'm used to. And then it's like, people are going to be like, oh, you're an adult, you know, you need to act accordingly. Nah, I like to roll around in the fucking dirt. Like, I don't know. I guess I need to be around people that like to be outside. That's the thing. I just need to find my people. And that's one thing I've been searching, I would say, for years. It's just like, not the whole where do I fit in. It's just that people who have similar interests and just the same as I do. So when I did come started to, can't get words out of my mouth. So when I did start to come across people with the same interests as me, that's when the whole quarantine happened. I was like, damn. But, you know, I was never taught, like, that's one thing that was never taught to us was about, like, adult friendships. Like, how do you make friends as adult? How do you maintain your friends when you're an adult? That's one thing I didn't really learn about. Also, no, I'm gonna say that for the next part. But, so, why do I call it the country? Because I'm country. Like, I wanna say I'm country from my accent, but it just depends on who has some strong ears. Because I know when I went to, I think it was Marietta, and I was talking, and the person was like, oh my God, you talk very country. And I was like, what? But me, I'm starting to get an Atlanta accent as well, you know, shawty. You know, I'm for witchy. You know, you don't do something about that. So my accent is very in and out because of the area and the people that I be around. So my accent is really all over the place. But my daughter, she has a country accent. I don't know how, because she's always around me. But her accent is very, 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 very country. And I'm like, that is interesting, because that has always interested me. Because I know my dad, he has an up north accent. Like, my mom and my dad both have New York accents because that's where they went to school at. That's where they mostly live. My brother, he doesn't have an accent. According to my mom, he doesn't have an accent. And me, my accent is all mixed up all over the place. I sound more Caribbean than my Caribbean parents, which is so weird. And then my daughter, she has a country accent. But her dad's side has a very country accent. You know, now I'm gonna say the stereotypical country accent, but you somewhere in that area. And then speaking of country, I have been listening to country trap music. Look how amazing. Listen, black culture is the culture, bruh. Because I've been listening to country trap. Y'all done made a whole genre. Y'all done made a whole new genre. And that's one thing I love about black creators. Like, bruh, we need to But I'm gonna play one of his songs. I'm trying to figure out. His name is Well, it's Rashad on TikTok, but on YouTube, it's Rashad Music. But you can type it's Rashad, and it'll come up. Like, country, he does country cover versions of songs. This is no promo. This is no ad. It's just something I liked. He doesn't have all of them, but I'm trying to remember which one I like. I'm going to play this one. But I've been listening to, like, all his songs. And that's another thing. I've been listening to a lot of mashups and a lot of different songs from different creators because I support Black creators. I love it. I want to see us in more areas because we are freaking amazing. Black culture is the culture. Like, just the whole country aesthetic. That's one thing I miss. I miss the country aesthetic. And that's another thing I'll probably miss, too, if I were to move out of Georgia. I will miss the Georgia aesthetic because I'm so used to Georgia. Like, I will be homesick all the time. But hold on. Here's the song. So yeah, and that's the song. I'm gonna make sure I put it in the description, so if you want to find it. But one thing I disliked about the country was that, like I said, a lot of people knew each other, and you know, this person's cousin, uncle, brother, and you could be friends with this person's uncle. Yeah, I said uncle. But when I was pregnant with my daughter, like, a whole bunch of people came out of nowhere and was like, oh, I'm your daughter's cousin. I'm your baby daddy's cousin. I'm your daughter's grandpa's cousin. And it was like, okay. Guess what? Them people is nowhere to be found now. I ain't heard from them. I ain't none of that. So it's like, what was the reason? So so when it comes to that, you know, everybody being this person's brother, uncle, cousin, whatever. When I lived down there, it was just my mom, me, and my brother. I mean, of course, my dad was there, but he eventually moved to Athens. No, he eventually moved for, like, more opportunities because of the field that he was in. But it was mostly my mom, my brother, and me, and then my grandpa, and then, like, my cousin came from the islands to live with my grandpa. So I didn't really have that much family down there, which is a good thing because drama. But sometimes I did wish I had more family down there as far as like blood family. Like, I have childhood friends and whatnot, but I always felt kind of indifferent. But save that for my therapist. But when it came to that, of course there was favoritism, bruh. There was favoritism. Listen, when you go to school, like, teachers would pick and choose, like, teacher's pet. But I'm just saying, though, like, adults would literally treat other kids better than they treated you because they probably went to school with your mama or your uncle, your daddy, or let's say your daddy was popular in high school, and then one of the people that are your teachers probably had a crush on him or was his friend, or just know that he's so popular, and you know, they'll be favoritism to you. They'll give them people more opportunities. They won't be that hard on that person. Why I keep messing up my words? But they won't be that hard on that person. So, you know, that did eventually rub me the wrong way. And then, especially as a kid, I did not like that at all. At freaking all. But life isn't fair according to everyone. But, like I said, they'll treat those people different, give them more opportunities. And then, if they don't know shit about you, oh, you get treated like trash. I constantly got treated like trash. And I was like, damn. Like, what did I do to make these niggas that mad? But, I hated the whole favoritism thing and stuff. And I know that, I mean, there was a lot of capping going on. You know, people lying about who they know when their background and stuff, just so people can be nice to them. But I think, you know, when we're young, of course, you know, we did and said stuff, so we'll be like, not me, I really didn't care. That was very interesting about me. I was always I'm not a fit-in type of person. But, like I said, at home, my parents made sure they made up for all that ish I had to deal with outside of the home. So, favoritism sucked. Now, surviving and what I learned. The other day, I said to myself, like, I think it's kind of good that I got bullied. But not bullied, like, too tough, but just, like, the surface bullying and, like, you know, people constantly coming for me for no reason. Because now that I'm adult, like, I won't say I'm numb to that stuff. But when somebody tries to come for me, I don't react so angrily. Like, I don't be so quick to, like, stoop down to the level or come out of character. I'm just like, okay. And then me going on my self-care, self-love journey, it's like, okay, you can talk to me crazy and stuff. Like, that's not going to tear me down because issues you have with me probably don't have nothing to do with me. So I learned a lot from just bullying and, like I said, learned a lot from the favoritism. Also, because I had, all right, on Instagram, I had commented on something and said dysfunction is not cute. And this girl commented back and was like, you not cute. And I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, but what does my looks have to do with the conversation? So all I did was put a heart eyes. Because it's like, to be honest, I could have clapped back, but I didn't feel like arguing that day. But but it's like, if somebody tries to drag me, look, I want to say that I'm quote unquote slower at understanding stuff. But bruh, a person could be dragging me, throwing shade towards me, and I will not know it. I'll be up there commenting, liking, and agreeing like, oh girl, that's shady. Because the whole time, I would not know that you're talking about me. I would not know that a person is talking about me. But I've learned that from just being in the area that I've been. Because when you're in a small town, everybody's basically on top of each other. So, of course, there's drama every time you blink your freaking eyes. And that's the main reason why I left the city in the first place. It's the drama. If there wasn't that much drama, I'd probably still be there. But then, I don't know, you know, life. You know, I try to think about stuff that could have been. I just try to think about what already happened. But, whew. Like I said, the country is not only me, but it's also my daughter. And my daughter would be like a nice blend of country and city since her dad's side is still in that small town and stuff, and she still goes to visit. So, you know, I'm glad she's experiencing that, you know, rolling in the dirt. Rolling in dirt, just playing outside. And just like, just seeing like where we grew up at and the stuff. And it also, like I said, small town, everybody, they mama know each other. I know dudes that I used to talk to and shit, hitting me up talking about some, I seen your daughter the other day when I was in the grocery store. Okay, nigga. And like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this information? Like, nigga, you don't even like me. Why you like, okay? Like, you, what are you trying to make conversation for? We don't got nothing to talk about. But like I said, you find out so many stuff. Like, you can find out, you can be sitting right next to somebody at a cookout and find out like 2 days later that y'all are related somehow. It's just wild. It's a mess. But of course there was drama. But like I said, I could go on and on and on about the drama and stuff. But I think I've stated it in past episodes. Especially the trying to remember what episode. The Y'all Nasty episode. I definitely stated some tings from there. Okay, so now we're about to get into the Caribbean part. Me, I love my culture. I love everything about my culture. The good, the bad, the food, the music, the rum, all the jokes, you know, the memes. But yeah, just being cultured. Because growing up, I did not know that, I want to say that I'm different, but I just didn't know that, oh, you know, that Caribbean culture and that, you know, it's certain things in the language that not everybody understood. So I did not know that. I remember me and my mom had a conversation and she was talking about the culture shock that she had when her and my dad moved to the South. You know, they're in New York. In New York, you know, you're around other Caribbean people. You're around other people of different backgrounds who understand Caribbean people, who speak the patois, who speak the Spanish, who speak whatever language, the Creole, you know, the French, like, they're around other people of the same background as them. So when you come to the South, I constantly make this joke that Caribbean people in the South be hiding. And it's so true, because for some reason people think that I just woke up one day and decided to be Caribbean, but no, like, I've been like this since birth. And, you know, I know the patois, I know the, you know, the music, you know, I now understand why people didn't understand Sean Paul. When the whole time I was understanding everything that Sean Paul was saying, but other people did not. So I didn't understand. I love my culture. To be cultured and to know, like, where you from, it's just like a different feeling, because it's like, I don't have to be out here chasing these different backgrounds to see where I fit in. Like, I know who I am. I don't have to change nothing about me. I don't have to change my hair. I don't have to change my nose. I don't have to change the way I carry myself to fit in, because I know who I am, where I'm from. And I know that these people can't shame me because it's part of the culture. You know, they probably don't understand the culture. Like, every year around Carnival, you know, the niggas must, you know, they make their jokes about, oh, these girls just want to dress up like O's, and, oh, they just want to show their body off. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. Like, you can't slut shame, and I will always say this, you can't slut shame a Caribbean girl. You can't try to come for the dancing, because you're going to get dragged. You're going to get dragged. But yeah, I always love the culture. For some reason, I know my dad was constantly telling, like, me not to, like, date out. Like, well, he mostly told me no white boys. And I never understood that. But now that I'm older, of course, I understand that history and whatnot. But just the whole dating thing, because I want my kids to be Caribbean. I want my kids' to be Caribbean. I want my kids' to be Caribbean and stuff. You know, you gotta keep the culture alive. And I'm eventually gonna talk about culture blending. But, you know, I understand why people are, you know, are very iffy about, like, you know, dating out and whatnot. Because the more you date out, see, I try not to talk about interracial dating, but as long as you're educating your kids about the culture, you know, it's not going to get lost. It's not going to just stop at this one family tree and whatnot. But, you know, of course I can't choose who my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids' background are going to be. But, you know, it's up to me to introduce that to my child. The same way my parents introduced it to me. And the same way their parents, of course, their parents introduced them to it as well. Now, in my description, I constantly talk about relearning my culture. And it's like, if you grew up around Caribbean people, if your parents are both Caribbean, why are you relearning your culture? So, is it jumping back into the country part? So, I used to get bullied, and people constantly tell me, like, oh, you know, you want to be everything but black. When I start talking about, you know, the Caribbeanness, I talk about, so, oh, this person talks just how, like, my grandma talk and whatnot. So I did kind of put my culture in my backpack. I kind of put it in my pocket. I didn't really talk about my culture that much. I didn't really say anything about it to the point where I kind of had to relearn the culture. Like, being around my cousins and being around, like, my family and stuff, and everybody's talking about this and everybody's talking about that, me not knowing certain music, me not knowing certain dances, you know, me having to, like, lean over and be like, can you repeat that again, when I don't understand somebody's patois. Like, I kind of try not to beat myself up about that. Because, you know, you're young. You know, I had to tell myself, you're young. You know, your environment you were in, you had to have certain coping mechanisms so you did not get bullied. So people did not try to be on your back all the time. So that's why I say I'm relearning the culture. Now that, shoot, the same way when girls go to college and black girls, my bad. So when black girls go to college and they cut their hair off, they start wearing their hair natural, they start dressing how they wanted to dress, because you're free now. You're free. You get to reimagine, but you get to create who you want to be. You get to explore. And that's one thing I was like, listen, I need to explore. That's why some people feel as though, like, I just woke up one morning and decided to be Caribbean. No, I'm dipping back into my culture because I don't want to be nothing else. I'm not trying to be, like, no offense to other people's culture. I'm not trying to be this culture. I'm not trying to be part of that culture. I'm not trying to be part of that culture. I'm part of West Indian culture, Caribbean culture, and I'm part of Black culture. And that's where I want to stay because I love it. Because that's my aesthetic. So, yeah. So, like I said, I'm relearning my culture. I'm learning more, the good, the bad, and, you know, why, listening to certain songs and finding out that the true meaning of it, and I was like, wow, I was sent up here promoting da-da-da-da-da. Oh my God, I did not know it. You know, once you learn about something and then you go back and you listen or you read it, and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, you start to feel different. But sure, the people that they be talking about be turning up to the music too. But it's like, wow, my gosh. I mean, not surprising. But it's like, wow, oh my goodness. And with me relearning my culture, I'm learning how to make the food. That is probably my favorite part. I'm learning how to make the food. It's now to the point where, I mean, Golden Crest, sis, I love y'all and whatnot. But, you know, my jerk chicken is a little bit better. But to where I don't have to go to Golden Crest no more. I don't have to go to Mango's. Because, to be honest, those were only the real two places I was going. I mean, I still go to Fireside because they got some bomb-ass porridge. And me, my porridge is good, but it don't compare to, like, my grandma's porridge and other Caribbean restaurant porridges. So it just me cooking and stuff, so I'm staying my ass the fuck home. And then I'm introducing it to my daughter. Like, my daughter hates porridge, but she loves jerk chicken. She doesn't really care for the curry chicken, but she loves jerk chicken. And try to make other stuff as well. And so, like I said, I had to tone it down so I didn't get picked on, bullied, or constantly have people be like, oh, you think you better than me? You know, check out that episode, the oh, you think you better than me episode. But you know, oh, you think you better than me? You Black. At the end of the day, you Black. I don't know why you're trying to be something else. You're Black. Like, sis, I know I'm Black. I know I'm Black. I can't deny Black. You don't see this you don't see this brown skin? You don't see this brown skin, these big old lips, these, my nose ain't big. My nose is pretty, but my nose is, it's my nose. But you don't see this kinky hair? You don't hear this accent? So, yeah. So, dealing with ignorance, like I said, I was young. I still dealt with ignorance like a few years ago. This one guy said to me, oh, your parents are Caribbean, you're not Caribbean. And I was like, you sound like a hater. Me, I try not to throw that word at nobody, but I'm like, you sound like a hater. I'm sorry, you sound like a hater. Like, is you mad? But like I said, dealing with ignorance, it's going to come along. And then now that I follow more West Indian Jamaican pages, Jamaica the best, but you know, I follow more pages like that, and I'm seeing, I also follow Afro Latino pages and stuff, because you don't want to know about them. So, you know, seeing people talk about their experience and some of the ignorance they have to deal with. I know Afro Latinos, this one girl was talking about, I think she's Haitian and Dominican, and someone called her a Goya Black. And another girl who's Afro-Cuban, she said that people call her a dirty Mexican. And she's like, bitch, first of all, I'm not Mexican. Like, get my background right. So, dealing with ignorance, you just gotta ignore it. I mostly ignore it because I'm like, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Like, I love my culture. I'ma still, I'ma still listen to the music. I'ma still switch up my accent when I feel like it. I'ma still do with the, I'ma still bust a wine. Listen, I'm ready for quarantine to calm down because I'm ready I can't even say the word. I'm ready to throw my waist upon somebody's son. I'm ready to throw my waist upon somebody's African son. Because some reason, every time I go to the club, I keep come across African guys. Like, boy, ain't no much of business. But, you know, I'm ready to throw my waist. Excuse my accent and stuff. And then coming back to the accent. Oh, boy. That's one thing. Because it was so, it's a certain word, like the way I say it, I can't say it the American way, like it's going to have a very thick accent on it. Can't remember what word it was, but the kids, like the kids will constantly tell me, this is when I was a kid, but they'll constantly ask me to say that word, and I'm like, for what? They're constantly asking me to say that word, for what? And then people will pick up my accent. The fucking disrespect. Now, the city I grew up in, it's mostly black people. And they will constantly throw, so you know me, I didn't try to be that harsh because, you know, all right, this is other black people, all right? Now, if it was some Caucasian kids coming for me, I would have dragged them. But it's like black people. I'm like, okay, they, you know, black people, you know, we like to joke around and whatnot. But now that I'm older, I'm like, you know, let's go suck your mother. Because it's like... How dare you? I'm your ally. How dare you? You were picking at my accent. But I love being Caribbean and stuff. I love trying. I love switching my accent up. Because the words be so funny. Even though, like, some of them have serious meaning. The words be funny sometimes. But that is why I call it the country Caribbean. It's me. I am a country Caribbean. So, it's me. And I'm giving my point of view. I'm switching up the narrative. I'm trying to let you know what's going on with millennial young adults. Some of us who are changing the things that we've learned and trying not to be... What you call that? Trying to do better, basically. And just pointing out the hypocrisy. Just pointing it out. Just pointing out the... One thing I learned is that America contradicts itself a lot. I grew up in America also, just to add that. So America contradicts itself a lot. And it's like, bruh. Listen, like, I think it's a good thing I don't have my brother on here because it will make your brain open its third eye. Because he's a political science major. So, ooh. He be pissing people off of the things he say. But thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean Podcast. Buh, 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 buh. I have been your host, Elena. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I always appreciate people who listen and stuff. Like, I get so hyped when I just find out, like, just see, like, the plays go up. You know, see people viewing my page, following my page, interacting. I just get so hype and stuff. You know how most people be upset? It was like, oh, it's not getting the traction that I thought it would get. Me, the whole time I'm sitting there like, people actually listening to this? They actually enjoy this? What? Like, same with my YouTube. I just started back doing my YouTube, Aylinn, A-L-Y-N-N-N. So, it's just two N's. So, I started doing back my YouTube and then, like, just to see, like, my videos, even though they're not a lot of views, but just to see my videos get views, I'll be getting mad high. I'm like, yay. Like, my expectations are not that high, to be honest, when it comes down to just putting my stuff out there. Just putting it out there. That's the only thing I'd be happy about, that I did it and I put it out there. If it gets one view, I'll still be happy that I accomplished that and I put it out there. But thank you for listening. I appreciate everyone that listens, shares, like, feedback, you know, follow the podcast. I will see you next week. And thank you for listening again.